Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's certainly wonderful to be here again tonight. And praise the Lord for His presence. Thank God for that touch that He gives us. Praise the Lord that we can serve Him. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to be able to gather here tonight. We just thank God for such a privilege. A lot of times you don't understand and appreciate such things until you realize that, you know, things change and things that we assumed would always be available maybe aren't going to be. You know, we just don't know. But we do know that we have a Savior that knows how to take us through this world. He knows how to give us strength that we don't have in ourselves. And He knows how to carry our burdens for us. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful Savior that, you know, told us to come unto Him. Oh, yes. And bid us to come unto Him. And knowing that He would give us rest. And, oh, yes, knowing that He would take our burdens and bear them for us. It's a wonderful privilege that we have of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you for this privilege, this opportunity. Thank you for these church doors. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to minister online, Lord. I pray that your word would go forth with clarity, Lord, with strength. God, you know the needs of every individual, Lord. You know, oh God, the circumstances, Lord. And oh God, we know that you know how to help us all. Lord, you know how to meet every need, Lord. And you know, oh God, how to, oh, give us victory over the elements that would try to oppose us, Lord. We just thank you again, Lord, for such a treasure that we have, O Lord, in the Scripture, and O Lord, from Thee, O Lord. O Lord, that wonderful privilege and gift that we've been given to have salvation, to know that You are our strong and mighty tower, the righteous runneth into in our sight. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful privileges that we have in you, Lord. I pray that you work here tonight. I pray that you touch hearts, Lord. I pray that you meet every need, Lord. And, oh, God, you know all the battles that people are fighting. I pray, oh, God, that these battles would be won, Lord. Oh, God, that you would give strength to your people, Lord. Oh, God, that you would, oh, give faith to your people, Lord. For we need, Lord, faith to believe, Lord. Faith to believe, Lord, in the beauty of thy word. And thy wonderful goodness, Lord. Thy great love for us, Lord. I pray they would become real to us tonight, Lord. Lord, oh God, that you talk to us, that you give us, oh Lord, oh God, a deeper understanding and a great, deeper way to acknowledge the great and wonderful things that you've done, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you use these words, Lord, that you be here, God. Oh, I could do nothing without you, Lord. I ask that you have your way, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd lift up those, oh God, that are down, Lord. Oh God, that need a touch from you, Lord, that need reassurances. Oh God, encouragement, Lord. Oh God, that need strength from Thee, that need healing from Thee, Lord. God, you know every need, Lord. Oh God, you know those that need salvation, Lord, and reassurances, Lord. Oh God, the strength to do that which is right. Oh God, to abide in Thy special place, Lord, in under Thy pavilion, Lord, in Thy under Thy care, under Thy wings, Lord. Pray that you'd help us here tonight, Lord, that you move, oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, I give this service over to you and ask that you would touch us, to give us what we have need of, Lord. Oh God, that you would meet the needs of your people, Lord. Touch your people, Lord. Oh God, help Paul, who, oh God, went under that thing today, Lord Jesus. You know how to help Paul Anthony. I pray that you touch his many needs, Lord, that you give him strength. Oh God, that you touch his body, that you give him faith, oh Lord, that you heal him, Lord, from those infirmities, Lord, that the Alzheimer's would go in the name of Jesus, Lord, and everything else. house, oh Lord, that pain, oh Lord, that he has, oh Lord, I pray that that would also go in the name of Jesus and that you would touch him here tonight, Lord. Oh God, we just bring these needs before you, Lord. Oh God, help my sister Judy, Lord. I pray that you give her strength, that you give her hope. Oh Lord, that you touch her afresh, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I pray that you'd work in a mighty way, Lord. For we need thy strength. We need thy help. We need thy promises. We need thy reassurances. I pray that you'd work, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you'd also touch Doc and help him, Lord. Oh God, to embrace thy promises. Oh Lord, and to stand on them. Oh God, go to thee with all his heart, Lord, and turn from everything that, oh Lord, that would set him the wrong way, Lord. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, you know every need. Oh God, we are dust of the earth, and we need you here tonight, Lord. I pray that you would speak, oh Lord, to each and every heart, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, that you'd bind the heavy wounds, and oh God, all the things, all the oppression, all the depression, Lord. Oh God, all the sicknesses, Lord. Oh God, all the weights, all the cares, Lord. Jesus, help us, Lord. Oh God, to give these things over to you in the wonderful name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. In the name of Jesus, I ask in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to call this message, Does Jesus Care? Does Jesus care? I think we all know the answer to this. And there's so much scripture to verify very, very strongly how much our Lord and Savior cares. But I know there are moments that people go through these uncertain times and difficulties and battles and all these kind of things. And I know how it is as we live in this world that we need the scripture so often to talk to our hearts and to give us a strength that we don't have in ourselves. We need those touches from the Lord, from the wonderful hand of our Savior and Lord. And you know, I feel that right now everyone could use some reassurances. But praise the Lord, our God is here tonight to meet every need, and I'm so thankful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's go to 1 Peter here for a moment and read a few verses here in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. This is familiar, but praise the Lord, it's so dear. And how we need these verses to be continually upon our hearts and in our minds, so that, yes, when that moment comes, when we're going through a battle, that the scripture comes to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, looking at verse 6 here to begin. Praise the Lord. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of great significance in this verse. You know, you're wondering how to touch God, how to find God. There's some keys here. That great need to humble ourselves. Oh yes, if we think that we've got all the strength we need in ourselves and all the ability that we would ever need within our own being and all the smarts and all the intellect and everything else, it's all within us, then I'll tell you what, we might as well not look to God, because that's looking to self. And that's relying on self. And how could God help us when we think that we have all the answers within our own person? But thank God for those wonderful times when, you know, He touches us so that we realize the great need to submit our lives unto God, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, knowing that if we will do that, if we will look to Him, for our strength, for the answers, to bear our burdens and all of that, it says that He may exalt you in due time. Praise the Lord. As we rely on Him, He gives us abilities that we would not have in ourselves. He gives us a strength that we would not have of our own might by any means. And He makes a way for us in ways that we could have never imagined in our own self. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful God we serve. But He has expectations that if, you know, we're going to draw nigh to God, if we're going to come to Him, then we must submit our hearts under the mighty hand of God. We must humble ourselves, therefore, under that mighty hand of God, knowing that He may and will exalt us in due time. Praise the Lord. Then verse 7 also says so much. It says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. These words are so dear, because I think so many times it's like you got that big bundle on your back, and it's just causing you so many disturbing agitations and trouble, and it gets so heavy, it gets so hard to carry. But praise the Lord, we have a Savior, and He invites us to cast all our care upon Him. Praise the Lord, that great burden that's upon us. Praise the Lord, we can give it over to the Lord Jesus. For He careth for us. He careth for you. Praise the Lord. What a privilege. What a wonderful thing that we can hand all of those cares, all of those troubles, all of those questions, all of those disturbing things over to the Lord Jesus. And let Him sort it out. Let Him handle it. Let Him take over. Praise the Lord. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Praise the Lord. And then we are told in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And as long as we are in this world, we do have an adversary. And here it's described rather clearly. The adversary is the devil. And he has his people. You know, he has his vessels. They are willing, so many of them. But praise the Lord. If we're sober, if we're vigilant, to be vigilant means to be watchful, to take things seriously. And, you know, in other words, we're on guard. You know, we have this understanding. We do have an adversary. It is the devil. He has his cohorts. He has his angels that have bowed under him and follow him. And yes, he has people that are willing vessels. And it describes it so clearly here as a roaring lion. If you've ever heard a lion roar, that's quite a sound. You'd have to be pretty deaf not to hear that. It really catches your attention. But that's our adversary. And how we need to be sober and to be vigilant, to take life seriously and to have this realization, this understanding that we do have one that we have to guard against, the devil as a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There he is. He's very clever. He's crafty. He's been around. He's observed mankind all these many, many years. He has a lot of tricks up his sleeve, so to speak. But praise the Lord has given us ability to resist him with the strength of God. Oh no, we could not do it of ourselves. But again, if we've humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God, we've cast all our cares upon him, we turned our life, our attention over to the Lord Jesus, he's going to give us strength to resist this roaring lion that walks about seeking whom he may devour. So verse 9 tells us, whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Praise the Lord, we can resist him through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got a strong and mighty tower. We can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, oh, that name that is above every name. And there is authority, there is power in that name. Praise the Lord, we call upon that name. And yes, steadfast in the faith. Oh, yes, firm in the faith. You know, just believing, leaning upon the Lord, and letting him fight our battles for him, for us rather, letting him fight our battles for us, praise the Lord. It says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, we all, as, you know, creatures in this world, we all, as pilgrims on this earth, are going through battles. We're all fighting. We all have an adversary. There's no exceptions. But praise the Lord for the strength that the Lord Jesus gives us. That 10th verse is so precious. It says here in 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh yes, praise the Lord. We're in a battle here on this earth. But praise the Lord knows how to take us through these things that we encounter as we walk this earth. And yes, after we have suffered a while, after we've gone through some of these conflicts, after we've, you know, accomplished some things in the Lord, because we realize the great need to lean upon him, after we've actually suffered a while, all these afflictions, these trials, they're all for our good. The Lord uses them to give us a strength that we would not have otherwise. And he uses these things to make us perfect, it says. That means complete or mature in the Lord. And yes, so that we can be established in the truth, in God's word, that it can be firm in our hearts. And of course, it says strengthened and settled. Oh, settled, for we know in whom we have believed and are persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. Praise the Lord. It's settled within him, within our beings. And you know, we have determined in our hearts that we're going to walk with the Lord. We're going to follow hard after him. And we're going to do our very best with the help of God to overcome the things of this world. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. He is so good to us. Amen. Let's turn now to Luke, the 12th chapter. I guess I find myself going to Luke 12 quite often, it seems like. There's just so much in this chapter. Praise the Lord. We're going to look at the first portion of it here tonight. So let's begin by looking at verse 1 here, Luke chapter 12 here. It tells us here in verse 1, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So This is interesting here. This is the remark that comes from Jesus at this moment. It's quite the moment here. There's innumerable multitude. In other words, it's not very easy to count them. In fact, it's probably impossible to count them. There's so many. And in fact, you know, it's such a crowd that they're actually trotting upon one another, it tells us here. So, what does Jesus say? And he's saying this particularly to his disciples initially here. He says, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And so interesting, the Pharisees were the religious people. They were the leaders. They were the ones that were respected to lead the people in things that were spiritual, so it was thought. But Jesus saw right through them. In spite of their long robes and their pious attitudes, their long prayers and everything else they did to put on an act, Jesus saw their hearts, and he knew that it was an act, in fact, that they were hypocrites. And here he's warning his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And that was the thing that was deep within, that hypocritical nature that they had, to put on an air like, you know, they were very pious, they were very spiritual, they were devoted, they knew the Word of God, and you know, they were leading the people. At least that's what they pretended to do. But yes, Jesus saw it as hypocrisy, and here he's warning his disciples to watch for this. He explains in verse 2, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." And we know, as it is even to these days, right now, that there are many things that are done behind closed doors, things that are done in the secret chambers, things that, you know, the big shots of this world do together as they meet and confer one with another, plans that they make, and that attitude that they have, that they're the elitists and they have more intellect, they have more ability, they have more power than the average person. And so, yes, they go into their chambers and yes, they make these decisions. And things that they want to impose upon the people of this earth. And, of course, we know the times that we're living in. Oh, my, there's an agenda. There's a 2030 agenda, which I would not want to be under by any means. Obviously, what they plan to do is to control every individual in this world. But praise the Lord, Jesus said he was going to shorten the days. He warned us that deception would be so great in the end times that, yes, if the days were not shortened, there would be no flesh saved. And I believe the coming of our Lord is nigh at hand. And these things that they plotted and planned in their secret chambers, I believe that much of it is not going to come to pass. Because our God is going to uncover it. It's, oh yes, it's not going to happen as they have plotted. Praise the Lord. And yes, it tells us again, verse 2, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which you have spoken in the ear, in closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." Oh, yes, that day of revelation and God's flashlight. Oh, yes, when it shines on all that darkness, all their secrets, all their plotting, all their planning, all their devices, all the evil that's been in their hearts. Oh, praise the Lord, our God is going to reveal it. Oh, there is that time when it is all going to be brought to the light. Oh, yes, even those things that they've whispered, that they've spoken to the ear in the closets. Oh, it's going to be proclaimed upon the housetops. Praise the Lord. And yes, we live in quite a time, as I've already noted. You know, Bill Gates with his whatever, he's got charisma or whatever they would call it, but you know, he has money. And yes, he's done a lot to just try to bring about policy in this world. And I know even this year he's done some things that, you know, make me take note. March 26th, Bill Gates received a world patent, and this involves a cryptocurrency which uses body activity. And that sort of sounds like something that they would insert inside, you know, kind of like a chip to control people. You know, it became a world patent. He was granted a world patent on March 26th. And so interesting, the patent number is 060606. So that's been going on. And then, I know Brother Samuel brought this out not too many Sundays ago and mentioned on May 1st, the House of Representatives introduced a bill, and the acronym for it is TRACE, standing for testing and reaching and contacting everyone that has any, you know, possibilities of being infected by a certain COVID-19 or whatever else would be in the making. But anyway, you know, interesting, they introduced this bill, and that's just, you know, they introduced it. I believe in the Lord will stop it. But the number of that bill is 6666. So we've got a lot going on with all these things that are happening in this very world today. And, you know, I was reading, you know, a recent interview that was given to Bill Gates, and I just thought he was saying a lot of things as, you know, he's, you know, speaking forth. And, you know, he was talking about the next time, you know, that another virus, another pandemic came about, you know, that this time, you know, they would be faster in coming out with a remedy, coming out with a vaccine and all of this. And I thought, oh my, you know, I mean, like, what's going on right now isn't just quite, you know, what they all have in mind. And you know, he wants something, you know, a little dirtier than that. You know, I just thought, wow, he's just, you're just saying, yeah, the next time, you know, there's a pandemic, and of course this one isn't over, really, from what I understand, but, you know, well, next time we'll just have more insight, we'll be able to come out with a vaccine a little faster. Oh, what agenda these people have. And, oh, yes, we know Bill Gates has not been any too nice, and, you know, he might appear on the outside to, you know, do these deeds for the benefit of mankind, for the benefit of saving lives. At least he tries to, you know, have that kind of, you know, appearance. But we know that he has said things about the need to eliminate people and to reduce the population of this world. And so, you know, that he has talked about the use of vaccines to do that very thing. That some things that I've listened to more recently talk about how vaccines literally sterilize people, and they have done so in many places where they have insisted upon bringing their vaccines into these different places in this world. Oh my. But we know, as 2 Peter, that third chapter, verse 13 tells us, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And indeed, that is what we are seeing in this world today. But praise the Lord, we've got a God. We've got a God who cares so very much. And he's, you know, he's always looking out for his people. And I think if we continue here in Luke 12, we see that wonderful care that our Heavenly Father has for his children. Praise the Lord. Jesus, after he was telling how there was that time coming when all those things spoken in darkness would be manifested, that they would be revealed by the light. And yes, even those things spoken in the ear, in the closets, would be proclaimed upon the housetops. But he went on to say here in verse 4, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do." I'll tell you what, yes, you know, there's an end to this life. And praise the Lord, there's a hope in our hearts. If we're serving the Lord Jesus, we have a hope of eternal life. And praise the Lord, they might kill our bodies. But praise the Lord, that just brings us into the presence of our Lord. That just ushers us into eternal life. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, that's not so bad. No, not by any means. That's all they could do. You know, that's the extent of their power. They're very limited. Oh, they might kill us, but oh my. Oh, that just brings us into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. It just says again, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Oh, there is such a need to fear God. Oh, he is the one that has that power. The power to save and the power to condemn. And if our lives have not been committed to him, that we're in danger of hellfire. Oh, we're in danger of being alienated from the presence of the Lord for all eternity and to be cast into outer darkness, that place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, that place where nobody wants to go. But praise the Lord has a plan, oh, for those that will humble themselves under the mighty hand of God and submit their lives to the living Savior. Praise the Lord. We just look for a little bit here at Proverbs, the first chapter. It tells us in Proverbs 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Verse 10 tells us, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse." Oh, I tell you, there are evil individuals that think just like that. And yes, their all ambitions, their goals are to, you know, swallow up the poor, you know, to do as much damage, as much hurt, to wait for blood, you know, to lurk privately, as it says here, for the innocent without cause, just, you know, to be mean, to be despiteful, oh yes, to show their filthy side. And oh yes, they might try to entice, they might try to gather in a people to cast their lots among them. But it tells us in verse 15 here in Proverbs 1, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives." soar the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Oh, what a pity, but you know what? Their day is coming. Oh, yes, vengeance is mine, saith God. I will repay. God sees it all. God knows it all. And that day of His righteous judgment is forthcoming. Oh, yes. All their evil will be known. Oh, yes, if it isn't revealed on this earth, if they don't come to judgment on this earth, they will come to judgment when they stand before the Lord Jesus. Amen. Verse 20 here in Hebrew, in Proverbs 1 tells us, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Well, this is what wisdom cries. Look at verse 23. Wisdom cries, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Oh, there is so much value. There is so much hope to the individual who would turn at the reproof of Almighty God. Oh, yes, who would turn from his or her rebellious, wicked ways. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonder it is. That is what wisdom will tell you. The wisdom of God. Repent. Turn from those evil ways. Give your lives over to the Lord. In other words, turn you at my reproof. And praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonder it is. When we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, oh, how He gives us hope. How He begins to change us. Oh, yes. How things begin to turn in our lives. And how we begin to see things in a different way. And praise the Lord. Oh, He says here, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that's the wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord when the Lord pours out of His Spirit upon us. Oh, it's not because of our deeds. It's not because of our own righteousness. There was nothing that we could do to merit God's favor. But how precious it is. Oh, if we'll just turn our hearts over to the Lord and obey Him. Oh, and do His will. If we'll just turn at His reproof. Oh, how He comes to us. Oh, how He makes a difference. How He gives us hope. Oh, yes, how we realize the wonderful care that He has for us as He pours out of His Spirit. Oh, that Spirit of the living God. Oh, He declared to His people. Oh, His disciples, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Oh, yes, He was talking about the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Jesus knew that His ministry here on this earth was short-lived. He knew that He could stay and walk among them for years and years and years, forever on this earth. But, oh my, His wonderful plan that, oh yes, He would ascend into the heavens. But, oh yes, He would come back as the Holy Ghost. He would pour His Spirit upon His people. Oh, praise the Lord, He would come unto us. Oh, that which the prophet Joel declared. Oh, yes, Joel. Oh, yes, that God would pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, yes, and your sons and daughters should prophesy. Oh, your old men would dream dreams, and your young men should see visions. And, oh, yes, on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out of my Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, He makes known His words unto us. He speaks to us in that still, small voice so that we can hear His voice and know, oh yes, how to go forth in this world, how to think, oh yes, how to be instructed. Praise the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus. But it goes on to say here in this first chapter of Proverbs, verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Oh my, that is the attitude of so many. When God offers so much, oh, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Praise the Lord, what he offers, but so many refuse the goodness of the Lord, his wonderful blessings, that wonderful rest that he offers to those that will turn from their wicked ways. Oh yes, but ye have set at naught, verse 25, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. And therefore that day is coming. Yes, as it declares in verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But I love this last verse here in this first proverb, verse 33. Oh, what hope we have in the Lord. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, such a contrast to those that mock at the Lord, that, you know, despise his reproof and go their own ways and cling to their own devices, to their own counsel and their own ways. Oh, when he calls, and then refuse, even though he stretches out his hand, you know, in compassion. Oh my, that day is coming, yes. When, oh yes, it will turn, oh, against them. But praise the Lord, in contrast to those that will submit their lives, that will turn to the mighty God. Oh, what a beautiful thing. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, our wonderful God who cares so much and, oh, just calls to us to turn to him with all our cares, with all our worries, with all our needs. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to Luke, the 12th chapter. Praise the Lord. Yes, he had forewarned them that he whom they should fear is he that hath power to cast into hell. That is God. Yes, yea, I say unto you, verse 5 here in Luke 12, fear him. Oh, yes. But praise the Lord, here, as we continue this chapter in verse 6, oh, we see the wonderful care of the Lord for his people. He asks here, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? And now this is really something to consider here. A farthing is a tiny bit of, you know, a tiny coin, you could say. It actually is a fourth of a penny. So in those times, Jesus is saying that 5 sparrows, 5 of them, would be sold for 2 farthings. So like a half a cent. Not much value, so it seems, to our way of thinking. But yet, you know, we see the great care of our Heavenly Father, because it says, you know, here are these little creatures that have not much value at all. 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, about 0.5 cents. And yet it tells us not one of them is forgotten before God. Praise the Lord, even the little sparrows are not forgotten before God. God beholds them. He even cares for them. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, when I think of this, the Lord knowing even the very hairs that are upon our heads, be they many, be they few, yet God knows. He keeps record. He's counting. It just shows us the great value, the great care that our Heavenly Father has for us to regard even such little, seemingly insignificant details. Yet, what He's telling us is, I notice, I care, I value you. Oh, you are so much more valuable than many sparrows. Oh, how He looks at us. How He regards us. Oh, the wonder of it. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have. Oh, yes, even knows the very number of the hairs upon our heads. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's look over here in the 7th chapter of the book of Luke. We find in the very first portion of this scripture that Jesus is entering into Capernaum, and He did a lot of ministering into Capernaum. It was kind of like His hometown in so many ways during His ministry. So here it tells us in verse 1, now when He had ended all His sayings in the audience of the people, He entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. So here, this first portion of Luke chapter 7, we've got a detail here concerning a Roman, a centurion, and, you know, it concerned his servant. And here, in this case, the Jews vouch for him because, obviously, he's been, you know, very helpful to them. And, you know, there was a concern for the nation by this centurion. It says, for he loved our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. So there they come to Jesus and implore him to please, as the centurion has asked. I've got a servant, and he loved that servant, and the servant was very sick, ready to die, it tells us. How did Jesus respond? It tells us in verse 6, then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. Oh, praise the Lord. And then he went on to say in verse 8, for I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And it tells us in verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned about him, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now this was amazing. Again, you know, this is a Roman soldier. He's a centurion. He's over 100 others. And, you know, he has authority. But in what he is saying here, he is showing that he recognizes the authority that is in Jesus Christ. This is quite a marvel because so many of the Jews didn't get it. They did not acknowledge Jesus for who he was, for the authority that he had. But this man gets it, and it is so amazing. Besides, he shows faith. He realizes, oh yes, the great power that Jesus has, that if he just says the word, that, oh yes, it will happen. In other words, oh yes, the word of the Creator, oh, the one that spoke forth, oh yes, let there be light, and there was light. Oh, this man has understanding, and he realizes the authority that was in Jesus Christ. Oh yes, he said, you know, I'm also under, you know, I have soldiers under me, and I say to them, go, and yes, they go. And, you know, I might say to them, come. And they come, and you know, to another servant, I may say, do this, and that servant does it. But he was recognizing that Jesus had authority, and if Jesus just said the word, if Jesus just commanded it, then it would happen. Praise the Lord. And also, you know, he wasn't on a high pedestal thinking, oh, I'm this man with this authority, and I have all these people under me, and oh my, you know, I'm really something. But no, he obviously was humbling himself as he came to Jesus. Or, you know, actually he had sent forth servants to bring the word that he wanted them to know. But this was his attitude. And Jesus marveled at it. You know, yes, as I said, as I read there in verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonder this is. It tells us in verse 10, and they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Oh, praise the Lord. You see what faith does? Oh, that centurion who had faith to believe that if Jesus said it, if he declared it, it would happen. God honors faith. Praise the Lord. In faith he sent his servants, oh yes, to inquire. Oh yes, to seek the Lord for mercy, to beseech him. Oh, praise the Lord. And God had mercy. Oh, yes, according to that faith, it was done. I say unto you, Jesus said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Oh, what a marvel this was. And yes, they came, yes, to that place where the servant had been nigh unto death. And there he was, whole. Praise the Lord Jesus having healed him. Thank the Lord, the word of life spoken into that body, not even in his presence, but the Lord speaking it forth, and so it happened. Praise our God. And then, as this chapter continues, verse 11 has another beautiful story here. Verse 11 says, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they bare him, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God had visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. Praise the Lord. Oh, another wonderful miracle. How Jesus cared. Oh my, here it was as they were entering into this city called Nain. And there it was, as you know, he came nigh to the gate of that city, and there was a funeral procession going forth. And yes, there was that realization there. The dead man was the only son of this widow woman. And we see the wonderful care of the Lord Jesus. Yes, it tells us so clearly. When the Lord saw her, oh, you can imagine, you know, what was in her heart, and you know, the affliction and the wonderment, and not knowing who would care for her, because it surely would have been the son's responsibility to take care of her as a widow. But we see the wonderful, beautiful, loving compassion of our Lord. Oh, when he saw this woman and told her not to weep. Oh, praise the Lord. He came forth, oh yes, to touch the bier there. And they that bear him, that they were carried, oh yes, the body, oh, they stood still. The words of Jesus Christ as he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Oh, what a wonder. There he was. He had been dead. But oh yes, the words of Jesus Christ, he that was dead sat up and he began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Praise the Lord, the caring compassion of our Lord, who sees the needs, who feels the burdens, who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, praise the Lord, what a gracious God we serve. And oh yes, that news spread. Oh yes, they passed that around. Oh, the wonderful works of God. I see another work of compassion here as we continue this chapter a little bit. It tells us in verse 18, "And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" And I believe here John was in prison. I believe this would correlate with the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew. And you know, at this point, John had been cast into prison. And, you know, although he had stood so faithfully and proclaimed just, you know, oh, so faithfully, the need to repent and to turn one's life over to the Lord and baptize those that came unto him in repentance. Oh yes, here he was at this moment where he needed some reassurances. And I thank God, you know, he knows those moments. We all have these various low spots in our lives. And there are times when, you know, we just need just a word or two just to cheer us up, or to something unto edification, to give us a little more strength, or just some scripture to, you know, just encourage our inner being. And here it was, John the Baptist, you know, they told him, his disciples came to him and told him what they had witnessed, what they had seen, and yet there was a question within John. And so, yes, he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" This is how Jesus answers that question. Verse 21, "And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Oh, praise the Lord. You know, just those little extra words that John needed at that moment. And look how Jesus responded. Oh, does Jesus care? Oh, yes, I know we serve such a wonderful God who is so touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, yes. Oh, that great high priest who has passed into the heavens. Oh, yes, to make intercession for us. Oh, yes. Oh, to touch us when we're down, to give us hope. Oh, yes, to raise us up from all the despair of life, to deliver us when we need deliverance. Oh, yes, to heal us when we are sick. Oh, yes, to save us from the lake of fire. Oh, praise our wonderful God. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's also turn to Mark, the 10th chapter. Oh, does Jesus care? Let's look at the very end of this 10th chapter of the book of Mark, verse 46. This time Jesus is coming into Jericho. He's been doing a lot of traveling in our scripture here tonight, but here it tells us in verse 46, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" I love the response here. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he was making a nuisance of himself, it seemed. You know, here he was, you know, this blind man. And, you know, by the highway, by the wayside, so to speak, you know. And he typically was begging. But oh my, he began to cry out when he realized who was passing by. Oh, the wonder of it. Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And oh yes, there was something that clicked within his being. He knew that Jesus could help him. Jesus cared. Oh, if he could just get the attention of Jesus, everything would change. Praise the Lord. And he began to cry out. Oh yes, he let off all the reserves, you know, just everything that hindered him. He began to cry out. Oh, he said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Oh, and it seemed that Jesus didn't hear him the first time. It seems because, oh yes, he cried again. He cried a great deal more, it tells us. He began to cry, maybe a little louder, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Oh my, he still didn't get a response, but oh my, he wasn't going to let anything stop him. Praise our Lord. Oh, if we could just touch the hem of his garment. Oh, I know, I'll just be healed if I could just touch the hem of his garment, as that woman, oh yes, with her infirmity, oh, thought within her heart, oh yes, and here is this man, oh, just realizing, oh, if I can just get his attention, oh, I know that I can be healed, oh, if I could just get there, oh, if he could just come to me, oh my, I know he'll have mercy on me. Yes, I don't know how many times he cried out. Oh, but it says he cried the more a great deal. And they were telling him, "Shh, shh, shh, be quiet. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it." But oh, you know what? He knew he had a need. And there was one passing by who could help him. The Lord Jesus was passing by and he could help him. Oh, he just knew he had that faith in his heart. And so he cried a great deal more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me, have mercy on me." And praise the Lord that moment. Oh, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Oh, yes. Oh, Jesus stood still and he commanded that he would be called. Oh, yes. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." And praise the Lord. Oh, this is just what he wanted to hear. Oh, yes, Jesus heard me. Oh, yes, he's calling me to come. He's bidding me to come. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Oh, praise the Lord. Our Savior's response to faith. Oh, yes, that man could have given up. You know, it was like Jesus didn't hear him for a while or whatever. It wasn't effective enough or something. But did he give up? Oh, yes, and they were telling him to hush. They were telling him to be still. But, you know, did that stop him? No, he knew that, oh, my, there was one passing by that could heal him. There was one passing by that cared, and you know, oh, that could bring about his sight again. Oh, if I could only get his attention. And oh, there was a desperateness within him. Oh, the Lord responds to faith. He responds to the desperate cries of his people. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, just as blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, cried out and cried out and cried out, so it was that Jesus heard that cry. Jesus stopped. Oh, yes. Jesus had the man called and bid him to come unto him. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And what is it that you would have me do unto you? Oh, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus said, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And praise the Lord, as he went his way, he realized he had received his sight. Praise the Lord, and he followed Jesus in the way. Oh, praise our gracious, wonderful God. Oh, we serve amazing, wonderful God, the one who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Praise our God. Here, Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 14. Praise the Lord. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That last verse here in this chapter 4 of Hebrews tells us, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, praise the Lord. We see as Jesus walked this earth how he had compassion on those that cried after him. Oh, yes, who had longings in their hearts, who had needs. And oh, yes, you know, all the various situations, all the troubles. And, you know, life is like that. It's like there's always something that's going awry, you know, quite generally. And, you know, something to put in order, something to fight, something to cry out for. But praise the Lord, we are not left without help. We are not left without someone who cares. We have Jesus, the Son of God. Praise the Lord, a great high priest. Oh, a priest is one that makes intercession for us. And praise the Lord, our Savior passed into the heavens to now make intercession for His people. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our needs, our struggles. Oh, yes, our cares, all those things that try to clobber us, those things that we don't understand. Oh, praise the Lord, there is one that careth for us. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, because, oh, yes, the Son of God, He came to this world. God robed in flesh. He came to dwell among us. Oh, yes, that He might be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, that He might know what it's like to have this flesh, to dwell on this earth, oh, to have the infirmities that we have as human beings. Oh, He bore it all. He was, oh, in all points tempted like as we are. But praise the Lord, it was without sin. Praise the Lord, and therefore now, because, oh yes, He came to this world. He shed His blood. He made atonement for us. Praise the Lord. We can all now come boldly unto that throne of grace. He says boldly, we don't have to be shy about coming to the Lord. He cares. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. More than anything else, He wants us to come. Oh, yes, He wants to help us. Oh, praise the Lord. Wherever could we ever find a friend like Jesus? Could we ever find anybody else who would care that we could call upon all hours of the night? You know, when we're in the middle of struggles and maybe, oh my, it's the thousandth time. Yet, praise the Lord, He bids us to come to His wonderful throne of grace. Oh, that throne of grace, that scepter is opened up unto us so that we can come boldly. We don't have to hesitate. We don't have to come in fear. Oh, praise the Lord, He's opened unto us so that, oh yes, we can come unto Him and bring our needs, bring our petitions. Oh, praise the Lord, know that He is there to help us. He's there to succor us. Oh, yes, to bring us the relief that we need from Him. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. James, the fifth chapter. Is any among you afflicted? Let him praise. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Oh, praise the Lord. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, praise the Lord. We're invited to come before that throne of grace. Praise the Lord, our great high priest, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who bids us to come before Him. Oh, yes, to find mercy, to obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, praise the Lord, how our Lord Jesus cares. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly before thy throne, oh, Lord, that it's opened unto us. Thy scepter is opened, oh, Lord, so that we can come boldly before thee, Lord. Meet the needs of your people, Lord. Help us to come unto thee, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you would work in a mighty way, Lord, for you are there. Oh, you are here. Oh, God, you are everywhere to help your people. People, Lord, as they come before thee, Lord. Oh, God, no matter what the problem or need is, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. We come before thee, Lord, believing, oh, Lord, that you care and that you know how to answer prayer. Thank you, Jesus. praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus cares. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We can bring it all before that wonderful throne of grace. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy, holy name. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 76 and sing Reach Out and Touch the Lord, number 76. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Be safe out there. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you.